In anticipation, we gather.
With expectation, we wait.
We gather to watch for the coming of the good news into the world and into our lives.
We wait to see the fullness of God's vision.
O God, open the doors to our hearts, that this year we might have room for the birth of Jesus. In this time of waiting, let true worship begin in our hearts.
Friends, you may be seated. So at this point, I invite any children who are in the room to please come forward for the lighting of the Advent wreath, and I invite them to bring with them Thomas and Fiona, Sarah and John, Emily, Marissa, and Sophie. Please come forward. So let's all gather around the wreath. Come on and get closer. So we need to help. These people have not been with us in worship during Advent, so they may not remember what each of these candles stand for. And remember, we've been lighting a candle each week as we get closer to Christmas. And you know what? After today, there's only going to be one candle left. So can anybody remember what the first week's candle was? Yeah? Hope comes first. Do you remember what the second one was? Peace. Very nice. And how about this third one, the one that's pink? Yeah?
Joy.
Joy, absolutely. And do you know what the last one is? Okay. Love, absolutely. So today we're going to light all the candles, and all four except for the white one are going to be lit in remembrance of just how close we are to Christmas.
We relight the first three candles of Advent wreath. The first candle is the candle of hope. The second is the candle of peace. And the third is the candle of joy. Today, we light the fourth candle to proclaim the coming of the light of God into the world. With the coming of this light, there is love.
We celebrate that God's love comes to us as a gift, not for anything we have done or will ever do, but rather God sent the beloved to us because of who we are, God's own children.
May this gift of love in Christ help us to love God with our whole hearts, and our neighbors as ourselves.
And now, please join me in the unison Advent prayer, followed by our sung response as printed in your bulletin. O God, let us pray, first of all. O God, showed your love for every person, babies and children, old people and young, sick and those who were strong, rich people and those who were poor. Come to us in Advent season and give us in our hearts for all people. Amen.
At this point, the children can go back to their Sunday school classes, and I invite our scholarship recipients to come and gather before the communion table, and I invite Claire Williams, the chair of our scholarship committee, to come forward to make the presentations. So go ahead and come on out in front of the table.
Good morning, everyone. It's with a great deal of pleasure that we present scholarships to these wonderful young people. There are seven in all. One of them isn't here, but maybe is Ann Fisk here? Will you come up, Ann, and get it for your daughter? I'm going to hand them out, and then Ann will come up, and then I'll have a little something to say after we give the presentations. The first one is Thomas Bachman. Thomas has been getting this for 3 years. He's a senior this year, so we lose him next year. Of course, Fiona Brown will be around for a little bit longer. Sarah Eisman, who's Ann Fisk's daughter. She's married and has a little one, but she's taking courses to get a degree, and that's what we one of our requirements. And then we have John Friedenhauser. I think he'll be with us another year. Emily Nicolosi. Got to get started on it first. We're delighted to have Emily. She is, I think it's Sarah, sorry. She's a first-year recipient, although she's been in college for a couple of years, so we're glad she's come forth and getting the scholarship this time. Marissa Peyron, she's in her first year, and Sophie Randolph. So let's congratulate our recipient. Our world, our congregation, and get them on their way to wonderful things, and know that many of the students have gone on to do great things after graduation, and you'll be hearing a lot more from us this year. In researching some records that I have, that was founded in 1999 that we gave 17 scholarships. They weren't great amounts then, but we were very, very happy that we were able to start that. And of course, today we're giving 7. We have probably helped 35 to 40 students, folks, over the years. Know that they can receive it for 4 years just by reapplying every fall. And we are the only church in Berkshire County that provides a scholarship for our young people or even a member of a child to go on to college for 4 years. You will be hearing more from the committee this next year as Brent will be working with the committee, and we give many, many thanks because he's got some really great ideas for us, and maybe we'll even see it grow even more, folks. What they're getting today is $600 a piece. That's pretty good. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? I'm sorry. So we're very, very grateful, and you'll be hearing a lot more in the news from the first. Thank you all very, very much.
How many people in this room like the song Wonderful World, as sung by Louis Armstrong?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. There's a wonderful line in that song. He says, I see friends walking by saying, how do you do? What they're really saying is, I love you. I don't know if you know this, but every week when we pass the peace, every week when we stick out a hand and say, how do you do, or say peace of Christ, or say good morning, what we are really saying to one another is, I love you. So let's do that again here this morning. Let's practice it until it becomes second nature. Friends, the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Now share it with each other.
Tristan, peace.
There is a whole lot of love in the room, but when you are finished, please be seated.
Brothers and sisters, good morning. In the name of the one for whom we wait, I bid you welcome to worship here at the First Congregational Church in Stockbridge. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. Friends, we are nearing the very end of the beautiful season of Advent, a season where God, the consummate artist, takes out her masterpiece of creation and softens the boundaries between heaven and earth, between joy and sorrow, boundaries between things human and divine. It is a season where shepherds hang out with angels, where the seraphim in heaven and the choir in this church mingle their voices as one, where barnyard animals dwell with babies. It is a season where boundaries of those things that once were separate are brought together in harmony and peace, boundaries blurred in and through the baby Jesus. So welcome to each and every one of you. May you here in this place of worship feel the boundaries between you and neighbor softening and blurring. May you experience the divine drawing ever closer to you, and may you know what it is to have the touch of God, the artist, upon your heart. A special welcome this morning to our college students who have returned home for the break and for Scholarship Sunday. To you, the college students, I say this: may the boundaries between the Minutemen of UMass and the Hawks of Becker College, the boundaries between the Fighting Illini and Fighting Scots, between Crimson, Ute, and Tar, may they likewise be blurred in peace and harmony. Friends, welcome to worship here on the fourth Sunday of Advent. It is so, so close. I would ask at this point, if anyone has an announcement to make, to please make your way to this microphone so that you are prepared to do so. While they are doing so, I will invite all of our guests and visitors to take one of the pew cards that's in your pew and to fill it out. It gives me a great joy to write notes to people who fill those cards out. And so if you write a note, I will have some joy tomorrow. Just put those cards in the offering plate as it goes by.
I'm Terry Wise, Chairman of Mission in Action, and I just want to thank everybody who participated in our Christmas gift-giving project over a very compressed period of time this year. We, this past week, delivered 114 gifts to a total of, I think there were 12 families, 7 kids from Railroad Street Youth Project, and 10 shelter residents at Construct. So thank you so much for helping to give them extra joy this Christmas.
I'm Ron Hamp, speaking as a financial secretary. I know that all of you are eager to complete your pledges for this year, and just a couple notes about that. Many of you give your pledges in pledge envelopes, and wanted you to know that although we are meeting jointly for our service on the 29th at St. Paul's, any pledge contributions you make in this envelope will come back here to this church. Others of you make contributions on checks without envelopes, which is fine. Be sure to put pledge on the memo so that we know that we can credit it accordingly. And finally, in case you're wondering, if you don't get around to sending in your last contributions until late in the month, we can accept checks and contributions dated December 2013 up to January 15th. If we receive it by January 15th, we can still credit it to you as a contribution for 2013. I hope that answers any questions might be lingering. And thank you all for all that you give.
One last announcement this morning. I would ask you, if you have your bulletin in front of you, to take out the hymn insert and find Gentle Joseph, Joseph Dear. It is one of the, it's the hymn that we will sing immediately after the scripture readings. Nothing gets by our Minister of Music, Tracy, and she noticed something. So here's what we're going to do. The first verse is sung through the voice of Mary, and so we are going to have women sing that first verse. The second verse is sung through the voice of Joseph. So we're going to have the men in the room sing the second verse, and then we will all join our voices together on the third verse. Make sense? Great. Friends, it is time that we move on to the joyous and serious job of worship. We now turn to our scripture readings.
Reading from Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore, the Lord will come. Therefore, the Lord will give you a sign. The young woman is pregnant and is about to give birth to a son, and she will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey and will learn to reject evil and choose good. This is the good news for today. Here ends the reading.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. These are the words of truth.
Friends, you may be seated. Will you pray with me? Loving God of all light and life, draw near now and fill this room with your Spirit. Open our hearts and our minds to your presence that we may revel in your beauty. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So those of you who have been here for a while will know that it has been nearly one full year. One complete year since John and I left Brahmin Boston for Serene Stockbridge. 1 year since we traded in rides on the overpacked T for strolls with baby carriages down Main Street. Since we switched from the symphony's winter home to its summer getaway. And you know what? During that time, we've discovered some norms or rules that govern living in a town like Stockbridge. We've discovered how you should make an appearance at the post office at least once, twice, three, or better yet, four times a week to do a couple things. One, to make sure you talk to each and every other member of Stockbridge who happens to be there, and also so that people know that you are alive. We have learned here that nothing says hello or I am thinking of you quite like food. And even better, if that food is homemade and still warm right out of the oven or still dripping with dew fresh from the garden. We have learned how the town takes a number of things quite seriously in hopes of keeping this a great town for families to live. And so we have learned that this town cares about town meetings that go into the evening. They care about any building that is proposed to go up and any sign that you might want to go in the ground. We have learned how things from the past, especially from the Rockwellian era, are deemed precious and pure and in need of watching over lest they fade away. It has been a remarkable, spectacular year, and we have loved every minute of it. Joseph of Nazareth lived in that town for his entire life. He was well aware of the rules that governed that town and his life there, like the times you should make an appearance at the temple to dedicate new babies, to remember the Passover, and to remind God that you are still alive with love for God and neighbor. Like the rules that called for hospitality for neighbor and prescribed exactly what kind of food to bring. Like how important the family is and exactly what vows of betrothal like he had with Mary imply and what should be done if those vows are violated. And finally, Joseph knew how things from the past, especially those things from the time of the Exodus, are deemed precious and pure and in need of watching over lest they fade away. Joseph was a good guy, and he knew the norms and rules and protocols and regulations of life and religion. And so when Mary, his fiancée, was found to be with child, and Joseph knew that there was no chance in the world that he could be that baby's father. Joseph knew that according to all those rules and regulations, there was only one option. Now, because Joseph was a good guy, because he was a gentle and caring soul, he knew that he would do it discreetly and quietly so as not to bring shame to his family or hers, but he knew he was going to do it. Joseph knew the age-old rules, and he was prepared to honor them, lest they fade away. And then something happened. Just as soon as Joseph resolved in his heart to do this, he had a dream of all things. There, laying restlessly at night, knowing what he was going to have to do in the morning, he had a dream of angels telling him not to do what all those rules told him he had to do. Angels whispering in his mind's eye to let that all go that God might make something new. The angel said, "This is no ordinary pregnancy, that the child has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. There is honor and beauty there, not dishonor and disgrace." Those angels told Joseph what to name the child and told him what that child would become, involving ancient prophets and inspired dreams of salvation. a dream, in the midst of a fitful night's sleep. And Joseph suddenly changes his mind. He alters his course, and in the course of doing so, becomes one of the greatest supporting characters in Scripture. Joseph, he knew his rules. He knew his etiquette. He knew what they said had to be done. He lived by them because they gave his life meaning and honor. But here's the thing. Joseph also knew the story of his people and the story of how his God works. The tale of how God shows up and sometimes mixes everything up. Joseph thought back to his ancestor, Jacob. The one who is terrified and alone, the one who is freeing his brother. He thought back to his namesake, Joseph, the one who was sold by his brothers and now shackled in an Egyptian prison cell. He thought back to Daniel doing a death dance there in the lion's den, and of Elijah fleeing Jezebel in the wilderness. And what Joseph remembered was how God showed up to each and every one of them in dreams. Dreams that gave them the strength and hope, and how those dreams gave new life and new birth to all those who had come before him. Joseph knew in his heart of hearts that God turns the faithful into dreamers. That it has often been in dreams where God shows that the past, while it's venerable and true and worth holding on to and knowing, is fading away into a new beginning, and that new thing is about to be born, even if we have no idea how it could possibly work. You see, Joseph knew by heart and by his life what the scholar Walter Brueggemann discovered through his careful research. That dreams in the Bible, they all have something in common. They represent the intrusion of God into our settled world of rules and etiquette and tradition. They come unbidden into the sleep of the faithful who awake to see the world in a whole new way. You might remember that it would be a dream that saves the Magi, and a dream, in fact, another one to Joseph, that saves the baby Jesus from Herod's clutches. But if you want to hear that story, we will get to it on January 5th, so come back. Friends, Advent is a countercultural time. It is a time how we remember how fragile babies from poor families can change the entire world. How the lines between human and divine are indeed blurred. How straw of a manger rather than finely crafted linen is where the Savior first laid his head. And so this Advent, on this last week with just a couple of days to go, I encourage each of you, and perhaps especially I encourage our scholars in this room who are studying at prestigious institutions of higher learning. I implore you to be open to the weird and to the unlikely, to the blurring of boundaries and the birth of the new, to be open to dreams that come to you unbidden in the middle of the night, that go against everything that you know, but dreams that simply won't let you go. Dreams that break in to your settled way of seeing the world and wake you to a new world that you have no idea how to get there. You see, in our time and in our place, you and I, we are called to be Joseph, a supporting character in the story of God's continuing unfolding love, open to whole new ways of thinking, even and especially in places like Nazareth and like Stockbridge, where written and unwritten rules beautifully shape our lives every day. Friends, if you look right over there, the candle of God's love, it has been lit, and it is burning brightly. I pray on this day that we open our hearts and minds to receive that love. Let us listen for God's voice of love, that we might speak in living echoes of God's tone, sharing hope, peace, joy, and most especially love, wherever it has faded. Amen.
may be seated. When we come together here in this church in a time of prayer, we recognize that we join our hearts and our minds to one another, to God, and to all who have come before us. And so here in this church, we lift up our joys and concerns, those things that each of us hold on our hearts. We name them out loud, both so that we can pray them here in this worship, and so that each of us might take those prayers with us on our way this week. And so I ask you, brothers and sisters, what joys and what concerns are on your hearts and minds this morning? Rick. Amen and blessings. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. So we recognize and pray for all of those who have been caught in storm's path across the country, especially for those in Texas, but that they might find wholeness and might find recovery. Other joys and concerns.
I pray in joy and concern for all of us and all of our family members and friends who will be traveling to be together to celebrate Christmas.
At this time of Christmas, we pray for traveling mercies.
And I pray for the life of my father-in-law, David's father, Joe Wampler, who passed away on Thursday.
We lift up Joe Wampler, David's father, who passed away this past week, and pray that God receive him into his loving arms. We pray for, in thanksgiving, for Tina's life, for all who mourn her, and for those who have been given new life because of her. Prayers for Carolyn for healing. We pray for your brother's safe journey back to Arizona. Yes, Mary. We pray for Rudy's continuing recovery and also a prayer of thanksgiving for just how much this church loves one another. Max. We continue our prayers for Don Shriver and his battle with cancer. I'm sorry, what were their names? Garth and Ted. We pray for Garth and Ted, friends who are facing serious illnesses. Friends, let us take a moment. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Kenny. We pray for healing for your mom, for her broken arms, and give thanks for her good spirit at age 93 that she will get through it. We give thanks for the young adults of our congregation who are home for Christmas.
Friends, let us take a moment to let all of those prayers of joy and concern settle deeply into our hearts and minds. All of these prayers and the many more that remain on our lips and deep in our hearts, we pray through the one for whom we wait. And now we break our silence, praying together and out loud the unison prayer as printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Master of both the light and the darkness, send your Holy Spirit upon our preparations for Christmas. We who have so much to do, seek quiet spaces to hear your voice each day. We who are anxious over many things, look forward to your coming among us. We who are blessed in so many ways, long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose hearts are heavy, seek the joy of your presence. We are your people, walking in darkness, yet seeking the light. To you we say, come, Lord Jesus. And now in boldness, we pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to say, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, here's what I know. The world tells us far too often that we are small and insignificant. The world tells us far too often that we alone can't do or change anything. Here's what I know. I know that we are dreamers, amen? I know that we believe that a tiny baby born in a stable changed everything, amen? And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to do something weird. I want you to do something unlikely to matter, but I want you to do it anyway. I want you to open your hearts. I want you to open your purses and your wallets, and I want you to take what you find in there and throw them in these baskets and give them back to the church that we might be able to do ministries of grace and light and hope. I ask you to dream that it might actually be. It is in that spirit that this morning's offering will be given and received. God, we ask you to pour out your love in waterfalls of tenderness. We ask you to send your spirit down into these gifts and into our hearts that they and we might break into our world, going forth as tokens of love, of peace, of hope, and of joy. And let us all say, Amen. Amen. Friends, before we close our worship, I have a few invitations for you. First, I hope that you might have noticed some cards on your seats. There are cards there that have been placed for the Berkshire Lyric and the Stockbridge Festival concert to let folks know about our Christmas Eve service. I ask today that you might take them with you and give them to someone who might like to come. I invite each and every one of you to join us on Christmas Eve for a beautiful worship of light and life. The worship will begin at 7 o'clock. I haven't been to one of these here yet, but rumor has it that you need to get here a mite bit earlier if you want to find a good seat. The preludes will start at 6:30. I hope that you will all be able to join us. A couple more instructions, and I apologize, but I invite anyone who is participating in that service on the 24th as a reader or candlelighter to please remain in the sanctuary after worship for a brief time. And here's the other invitation. I'm going to invite you to break a rule. I know we love sitting for our preludes, and it is a good thing normally. In speaking with Tracy and with her permission and with her blessing, she is asking that everyone who is in here go ahead and use the prelude for marching music today and come on through those doors to food and fellowship. We need to rehearse Tuesday a little bit, and so the quicker we can clear this room, the quicker we can get to that. And I would at some point like to head home. So friends, let us close our worship in song.
Of course,
So friends, go forth from this place as dreamers and as doers. Go forth with eyes open and hearts on fire, and go forth knowing you do not go alone, but rather that God goes with you every and anywhere you might go. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds together as one in Christ Jesus until we come again. And let the people say, Amen. Amen.